Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Well, here we are again.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
Is this our bit?
It's our opening.
It's our opening bit?
Yeah.
I'm your father.
What's your name?
Scott Rogers. What's your name?
You already asked me that.
I did.
What are we doing here?
That's a great question. What are we doing
here? What are we doing here?
We're watching. What is any of us doing here?
The magician.
In the world, in the universe? What are we trying to do with ourselves? What are we doing with our lives?
I think that's something that you need to internally process.
Everybody has to internally process for themselves.
This is a magician's podcast, by the way, where we talk about the magicians and magicians related things.
And sometimes philosophy.
It's called the Fillerian Father. I'm the Fillery. He's the Father.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about this week?
Today we're talking about season 3, episode 10, The Art of the Deal.
Yeah.
Directed by.
Yeah, you know what that title reminds me of?
Directed by. Don't say anything. What's the director?
Rebecca Johnson.
Yes. And don't make any kind
of
connection.
It's the worst board game ever made.
Oh. Well, it's not a board game. It's a TV show.
Oh, man.
And a book series.
Well, yeah, it's not a very good board game either.
Yeah. You should make a magician's board game.
Well, if there were a fan base out there that would want a magician's board game.
I'm sure.
That is more than just trivia.
Yeah.
Like, what color shirt did Julia wear in episode 27?
Why would it be trivia? Why would it be trivia?
Because
there's no episode 27.
Like, most bad.
That's stupid.
Game creator. Like, if some marketing company says, let's make a game based on a show that we're promoting and give it away as a thing, like a
you have to do a tie every time you make a turn.
It's always a trivia game.
Uh-huh.
Only very infrequently, but in the case of the magicians, if I remember correctly, it's a drinking trivia game.
Yeah.
So there you go. So not only do you have to know your magician's trivia, but
your
also
tuts.
Have to drink. No, it's not tuts. That would at least be clever.
Yeah.
Yes. Trivia is like the easy way out.
Uh-huh.
Trivia or Monopoly clone.
Well, what shirt was Julia wearing in episode 7 of season 2?
It was black.
It was black. Probably.
Yes, because that's all Julia ever wears, is black shirts. All right. Well, let's talk about some shirts in this episode. Like the fabulous top that Alice is wearing in this first scene.
I'm not. Pay attention
you didn't
to
pay attention to her very lovely black lacy top?
No, I was
and
paying attention to
cool,
the conversation
chunky,
they were having.
Chunky shoes, too, that you saw in one shot.
I was paying attention to the conversation they're
what
having.
What conversation?
Because they were in the physical kids' cottage, and it was Alice and Quentin, and they were arguing over how Alice has been really cagey about her interference and cooperation with the library, and how Quentin, you know, is putting a lot of stake into this quest. And that Katie took the fifth key to go and try and talk to Penny, which, you know, we don't see her all episode, so don't work. they're arguing about it, and, you know, Quentin says, at least I know what Katie wants, you know, because Alice is just keeping it all inside. She is always having this conflicting feeling of, should she bring magic back, should she not, should she help, should she participate? Now she's participating, after having this super long stint of not helping. And she says, you know, of course I want magic, but, you know, you asked me to go on a quest literally 5 fucking minutes after my dad died. Like, do you think I want to go on a fun adventure after that? No.
Valid point.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, Quentin, you're not the only one who's allowed to be ambivalent and scared and depressed all the time, you know, and I'm supposed to be all put together and I have to know what to do. And then Julia interrupts. She, like, trips. She's like, ooh. Sorry, guys. But he,
you know what, though?
Gives Alice the book.
She was paid to do that.
She was paid to do that. but he gives Alice the book, you know, against his better judgment. And he says to Julia, you know, there's something Alice is not telling me. But the sixth key is in the throne room at White Spire. So
how many keys are we after?
There's 7 keys.
How many do we have so far?
They have 5.
All right.
They're almost done.
All right. Okay.
But the Six Keys in Whitespire. And Quentin's like, ugh, I have a headache. And then Julia does some magic. And she's like, here you go. No aspirin needed.
See, now that's why I wish magic were real.
For headaches?
To get rid of migraines and headaches. Mm-hmm. That would be great. That's a lovely reason to have real magic in the world.
Yeah.
To get rid of headaches.
But Julia says, you know, Quentin, I wish I could help, but I really want to, like, focus on this fairy thing. And he's like, no, it's fine. Do what you need to do. I've got your back. I know you're going to come back and help us. Just, you know, do what you think is right. And so we see Fen and Julia. They're planning to, like, they're going to get one of the fairy necklaces for the enslaved fairy so they can, like, sneak in and impersonate and, you know, see if they can take them off.
I know where they can get a fairy necklace.
Where?
Etsy.
Maybe.
Probably. I'll bet you could find. Where did you find your fairy necklace?
I got it from...
You killed a fairy and took it.
Yes, I did.
Because that's the only way to get it off is chop off a fairy's head, right?
I got it from the magician's,
auction.
Yeah.
Proption?
From the strike auction.
Strike auction?
Where they're getting rid of all the stuff from all seasons.
Is that what it's called, a strike?
Well, I mean, that's what you call it when you take down, a set on a play.
Right. It's not like an estate sale?
That's what it was, basically.
It's a show estate sale?
Yeah.
How often are those kind of things?
They happen pretty frequently, I think.
If you could go in time and get go to a strike auction.
For anything?
For any TV show that ever existed.
Or movie or anything?
Well, let's just stick to TV for now.
Then I'm fine.
What do you mean?
Then I'm good.
You just want the magicians?
Yeah, I'm good.
You don't want, like, Star Trek The Next Generation and get, like, Worf's, his bandolier?
Nah.
Or you don't
if
want...
If it were a movie.
Or Wesley Crusher's sweater.
His gay sweater.
No, not gay. It was like his Activision.
It's got rainbows on it.
It's like his Activision sweater.
It's got rainbows on it.
Only video gamers will get that. The Target what?
It's like the Target Pride collection.
Oh, yes. Well, Disneyland's got Pride stuff now. Did you see that?
I don't care.
Why not?
I don't care. You love Disneyland. I don't care about Disney.
You do. No, I didn't say Disney the company. I'm saying Disneyland. All right, anyway.
But, no, I would not.
All right, if there's a movie, then.
Obviously, Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit.
What would you want, though?
I would want Sting or, like...
Sting the musician?
No, Sting the sword or, like, Glamdring or, like... One of the rings, the giant ring that they used for Fellowship of the Ring for one shot.
What do you mean the giant ring?
There's a shot when they're in the mountains of Carathras and they're climbing up the mountain. It's all snowy.
I like
snowy.
The way you say that. What is that thing you said again?
Carathras. That's how you say it.
Wow.
And you're going going up the mountain and there's one shot where like the ring drops on the ground and it goes like donk and then like there's a second shot and Boromir picks up and he's like, be careful. He's like, oh, so funny that such a small thing could be carried, you know, here, and he gives it back to Frodo in this like moment of tension, you know, where you see it starting to affect him. But that ring and that one shot where it falls in the snow is like huge. It's like giant. Like I'm making a gesture with my hand. It is about the size of a pizza. And it's fucking big, and pizza. I would love that. Just a giant ring, or, you know, or, like, one of the Lorien cloaks, you know, or...
Well, you have a Lorien clasp.
I do have a clasp, so I could have a cloak.
I'll bet you could find somebody on Etsy to make a Lorien cloak for you.
Maybe, or like Andril. Like, I would love to have, like, the actual sword. That'd be cool.
I bet you could get a prop.
Or, elvish armor. Or, like, for The Hobbit, it would be, like, the map. The map that they have of Erebor. Or, like, Bilbo's contract or something like that.
And what would you do with it?
What would I do with it? I'd, like, frame it.
And put it on a wall.
And I'd, like, if it were the contract, I would, like, unfold everything. So this would be, like, a giant picture frame because the contract's super long.
That would get really expensive. Custom frames are very expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it'd be worth it.
Do you think somebody owns that somewhere?
Oh, definitely.
Who do you think they have?
Peter Jackson.
Well, maybe. Do you think they have it displayed?
Or like the Red Book, like you know, the Red Book, which is what Lord of the Rings is supposed to be based on.
Oh, I see. The writings.
Yeah, they have made a practical version of that. Or you know, there's all these letters. This is not a Hobbit Lord of the Rings podcast.
But
my apologies. I wish it were. I could talk for hours.
At least you'd be pronouncing everything properly.
Uh-huh. I did teach myself a little Elvish, so, you know, we got it.
All right. Anyway, so you want a book or a map or a contract or...
Yeah, like a physical item.
Would these be things that, like, if somebody were to buy you a Christmas or birthday gift, would these be things on your Christmas or birthday list?
Well, considering I lost my one ring, you know.
Well, that's what happens, though,
that
right?
Is what
when
happens.
You are a greedy little halfling and you fill
in
a fight.
Or you're in the black box and you're wearing it one day and then suddenly it's just gone and you look for like 4 hours for it and you can't ever find it ever again.
It'll still be there for all you know.
For
just
all
gotta
I know.
Listen to
I
it.
I asked so
whisper.
Many people.
Maybe you should go back in there and like look.
Can't.
Why not?
COVID.
No, now's the time to go
now's
look.
Now's the time to
right?
go look
when nobody's
no there.
There, right?
No, but you don't understand. The seating is so hard to get under. I did crawl under.
Really?
I did.
To
try and find it with a flashlight. Yes. Did not find it. It's very
so
sad.
You know, it's very sad though.
The ring decided to leave me. That's what happened.
But the worst thing about it was that I actually
stole it from.
No, I tricked somebody.
Yeah,
for
you tricked. Who? What did you say? You tricked some like bald guy.
No.
Some naked bald guy.
That's what I told you.
That's what you told me.
No,
That's right.
It was a white elephant at the school that I taught at.
Oh, interesting.
And I tricked them into not wanting it. And I said, oh, you don't want this. That's not that cool
so
of
funny.
A thing. You want what's in this wrapped gift
You're like,
instead.
And here's this riddle. The answer is time.
And then when we were done, I was like, this is perfect. I can give this to my daughter for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Because
now you
got
to do it again. You got to trick someone else.
Because your daddy is always thinking and looking out for
oh,
you.
Oh, thank you.
So you never know. Maybe another ring might end up in your possession at some point.
One of the 9 rings. Or the 7 or the 5.
Hey, do those look different?
They do.
Oh, okay.
Sort of.
Man, what if there's the 10th ring?
Well, the 3 rings of the elves look different because they're forged differently.
Right.
This is not a Lord of the Rings podcast, but you are going to get the spiel.
We're already 11 minutes in our Lord of the Rings
you're
podcast.
You're going to get the spiel. The elven rings, oh God, I can never remember all the names of them.
Frank, Henry.
No. No. but of the 3 rings, they're all like very ornate and delicate,
right.
And they have like jewels in them. And then the one ring is the most simple of them all. And then the ones that were for the dwarves and for the men, they're also kind of like cool looking and they're like ornate and stuff. But
only,
the one ring is the one that's like the most simple because it's the most powerful.
I was only ever tempted to buy a ring once in my life.
For mom?
No.
No?
I mean, obviously I have a wedding ring. And uh-huh. No, I'm saying for myself.
Oh.
Like, that's not a wedding ring or uh-huh. engagement ring.
And
or
it was a
that.
Batman signet ring.
No, ironically, it was
it
not.
It was the Green Lantern ring.
No, it was
and
not.
And you were ready to join the Green Lantern
no,
Corps.
Green Lantern Corps, they're a bunch of dummies. no, it was kind of a litchy-looking ring that I saw at Disneyland in the jewelry shop. It had like kind of a skull with a crown, and it was big and honking. And
you can get that anywhere.
And if you punch somebody in the face, it would
leave a
mark. You
can get that anywhere.
Well, you know.
I saw a sloth ring recently.
A sloth ring?
It looked like a little sloth around your finger.
Well, that's because like this is when I was working for Disney, and I'm like, maybe I need a thing like.
Speaking of sloths.
Like, who's the guy who has all the earrings?
Speaking,
Joe Rohde.
Speaking of
I was
of
like,
sloths.
Maybe I need a thing like Joe Rohde.
Speaking of sloths.
And I was like, maybe it could be rings. And I'm like, nah, I get snagged on everything.
Speaking of sloths.
What about sloths? There's no sloths in this episode.
There's no sloths in this episode, but you know who is in this episode? Irene McAllister, Julia and Fenn go to Irene McAllister, and they convince her that, do you like that transition?
No.
They convince her that they have access to a whole bunch of fairies and that they're going to catch one.
What is a whole bunch of fairies?
A whole bunch of fairies.
Is it like a passel of fairies or a flock
of fairies?
A sparkle
of fairies.
A sparkle of fairies.
A sparkle of fairies.
That's pretty good, actually.
Thank you. But they like come up with a fake reason as to why they can see them. And, you know,
it's
Fenn
kind of
keeps
bullshit.
Kind of giving it away. And she's like, oh, you know, there's plenty of them in Fillmore.
Yeah, you know, Fillmore is actually up in the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
We used to live near Fillmore.
No. But
they
know.
Said it was in the Midwest. They were harvesting Midwestern fairies, uh-huh. corn-fed fairies.
Yeah. But, you know, Irene's like, well, Julia, how can you see the fairies? And she's like, oh, I asked a fairy to see her for a Snickers bar. Still can't find her. Which is like, girl, that's so fucking bullshit. If
it
she
was
had
a fun
any
size,
if
or
she had any
size?
Brain cells, she would see through your shit so fast. But this is
A magician's where everybody but the main characters are dumb, and the main character's even dumber.
No one's rolling insight checks.
Nope.
But she says, "Hey, bring me a fairy, and I can get you a necklace. You can talk to my uncle Edwin. He can hook you up with one of those, and it's all good." But then we get to see best boy, the best boy, the best man in existence, Penny Adiodi. He's shelving books, shackled to his little book cart, just throwing them around because he's having a terrible time. And we see Howard, who is that guy who grabbed a cursed book and killed himself.
I didn't recognize him at all.
Yeah, it's been so long. But he's down in the underworld now, and he's like, "Hey, you know, you should join my book club. Kathy makes great cupcakes."
Wait a second. Why is he back from the underworld?
He's in the underworld because he died.
But
and he's
the
a
library.
Librarian.
Oh, they're
and
in
when
the
you're
underworld
a librarian,
library.
When you're a librarian, you make a contract and you work for the library when you're living and when you die.
So how come all the signs in the library are like dumb and obvious, like the signs in the Batcave in the 1960s
Maybe
TV
they're
show?
Just the guy building the library was like really inspired
by Batman. Maybe. But,
maybe.
Well, it did not have a pole.
No
you
pole.
Could slide
just
down.
No, that's what Lil Nas X was using to get down there.
Lil Nas?
Yeah, he was sliding down.
Who is Nas X?
I'm not going to explain.
There's a Nogzima?
No. but
I know who Nas X is. He's the guy who lap danced to Satan, okay?
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
I'm
he's
totally,
hanging out in the
your
background.
Your dad is not
unhip. You're hip and fresh and cool and funky.
I'm funky, fresh, and fly. Yes, your dad is actually with it.
You're with it.
And cool with a K and a Z because it was the 90s.
but he's like, you know, you could get me out of these shackles because it's a very bad look for the library. And Howard's like, oh no, we enslave people of all races and ethnicities here.
How come
still
I feel
bad.
Like how come
still
I feel
bad,
like that's
Howard.
The writers of the shows talking?
Yes. Oh no. but then we see Uncle Edwin.
Oh, the other thing is this. They were weren't they talking about the Metro?
That's later.
Oh, okay.
It's later.
All right.
Later.
My notes are...
Your notes are all over the
all
place.
All over the place.
This is why we would never be able to do something that you're interested in, because you would not be the one taking meticulous notes. It would be me. And then
what
I would
something
have,
that I'm interested in?
Like, I would still have to summarize.
What would be a show that I'd be interested in that you don't think I'd be taking meticulous notes about?
Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Because you'd
are
just
we gonna
enjoy
that?
It, and you'd be sobbing because Boba Fett would be on screen.
That's
just
later.
Like, oh, there he is. He has his little missiles, just like the little child unsafe toys. And you'd be crying.
First of all, those missiles never launched out of his legs.
I know they launched
out
of the...
No, they launched out of my imagination. So that's why it was so beautiful, is that it was a validation for my imagination. It's the best moment of 2020.
but this is not a Mandalorian podcast.
Oh my god, if
and
only.
It will never be.
Oh, maybe. Maybe
it
we'll
will
do
never
one
be.
Episode.
No, yeah. It's not magicians related. Sorry.
What if there I
it's
can find
no.
some sort
There's
of
There's no midichlorians in
what
the
if,
magicians.
What if I can find some sort of link,
link?
Between the Mandalorian
no.
and the magicians?
No.
Would you let me do a
no.
Mandalorian episode?
No.
I'll bet I could find one though.
Not until after the whole show's done. And you read your fan fiction out loud for everyone to hear.
What if I do Mandalorian
no,
magician fan fiction?
You could do that. That is an AU.
That's
you
ugly
could do.
And horrible.
You
I
could do that.
That's an AU? Somebody did that?
You could do it.
Where Baby Yoda
Dad,
is
AU
the magician?
Just means alternate universe.
Baby Yoda at Break Bills?
Who's the Mandalorian? Is it Penny? Who's his baby?
Who's under the helmet, you mean?
Is it Penny? Is the answer.
That,
the answer
no, that's
is
what,
yes.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
If you were going to write Mandalorian magician crossover.
Yeah, it would be Penny.
You'd have Penny as the
Penny would be
mysterious
Mando.
Stranger.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think
Thank you. I'm correct.
I think we're getting into territory that I don't really want to get into.
Is you're getting ideas. Is what's happening.
No, it's because I'm getting into your, well.
What? What the hell?
The guy,
oh God.
What We Do in the Shadows says.
Don't. You're not even going to do the accent, right?
I know, I can't. I can't do it right.
Well, now you have to try.
Sexual.
That's so bad.
It is bad. I apologize to, what's his name?
Everyone
what's
listening.
What's his name, Matt Berry?
Everyone
I
listening.
I apologize especially to Matt Berry.
Everyone listening.
I have to work on
so it. So Julia goes to see Uncle Edwin. He's like, here's your little necklace. Just put it around their neck. They'll make it docile. And she's like, but how do you know it like works? And he's like, oh, it just works. She's like, well, how do you take it off? And he's like, huh, family secret. She's like, okay, well, like, how's the magic keep it intact? And he's like, again, family secret. Don't worry about it. But, like, we gotta process for taking the necklaces off. It's no biggie. And he's
Why is it that, like, all these big dynastic families that enslave fairies or, like, you know, make board games or whatever are, like, evil people who have made unholy deals for things?
Because
why isn't there just, like, a nice family
who have lots of wealth?
That, yeah, like
that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist.
So there's no such thing as
a
completely, utterly rich family that
no such
is
thing.
Nice people.
No such thing.
Really?
No such
what
thing.
What about George Clooney?
I don't know his home life.
Do you think there's something evil about George Clooney?
Oh, I don't know.
Or who else is a nice person? What about Ellen DeGeneres?
No.
No?
No.
Do you think she's an evil fairy?
No. No. But Uncle Edwin brings out his fairy, Dust, who's been in the family for 400 years.
Get it? Fairy Dust? Get it? Get it? It's the writers, again, hitting us in the shoulder. Uh-huh. Get it? Fairy Dust?
It's right. So funny.
Not really.
But he's like, yeah, Dust will take care of them. No problem whatsoever. Got a machine to take off their necklaces.
Right.
It's all good. So then we see Sylvia and Penny back in the underworld. And, you know, Penny's like, why are you here? Like, I thought capturing me and bringing me down here, like, helped release your bounty. And she's like, well, you know, like, he also asks, like, where's your family? Because she says, you know, times were tough because magic went away and all my family got, but they all moved on without me and they left me behind.
Well, I would too.
She has a shitty family. I think we should have had a spinoff where it was like Penny and Sylvia.
Bounty Hunters?
Like, Bounty Hunters found family. Mm. Let's go.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
Thank you. But
is that the one where Penny has the baby strapped to his chest?
Sure. But she says, you know, contracts for the library are ironclad. Even though I turned you in, and she's like, sorry about that again, I still only knocked off 1 million years of my billion-year contract. I'm never going to see my family. And, you know, I can't go anywhere.
Why would you want to see your family if they were so crappy and left her behind anyway?
Well, you know, that's just what she wants to do. So.
Is that something for season 5?
No.
Oh.
We never see Sylvia again.
After this episode?
After this episode.
Well, maybe it's for the best.
Ugh. But then we see Sky. She's talking with Julia and Fen. She says, you know, she told the others that she did magic, but no one believes her, or, like, at least wants to believe in her. But all the McAllisters are coming to break bills for something. They're having, like, a dinner.
Or a convenient dinner.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of fairies going to congregate at break bills. So kind of the stage is being set. And then we see Josh, Margot, Alice, Elliot, and Quentin. They're all in the Muntjac. And they're planning to get the sixth key, which is in Whitespire. And it's only revealed after the light of, like, 2 half moons. And then Josh makes, like,
a very dumb joke.
Yeah. But it turns out Fillory's at war with Loria and the floaters. And
why,
so,
though?
Because they see that Fillory's defenseless and no longer has its
But that's
monarchy.
Dumb. Didn't they just
its
make
its rulers
a deal?
Were deposed?
Well, but, okay, so hang on a second. This is dumb. Once again, their logic is poor. And that is this. If King
Idri,
thank you, is legally married to Ellie.
He's not. They never got married. They were engaged.
Oh, I thought
they never got married.
I thought they got married.
No.
Okay, what about, but Margot got married to...
Margot got married, but it was never consummated, so that means in accordance to the floater-like laws, it doesn't count.
What?
Yeah.
See, now it sounds like these guys' loopholes really fucked them over.
Yeah.
Because if they had, like, you know, just said, all right, well, we're married, then the floater could say, all right, we're in charge of Fillory. Or Idri could say, well, you know, I'm essentially the wife or husband or whatever. So I'm in. So they could have just had like a nice joint mutual takeover.
But they're like,
they didn't need to invade. They just would like be like, all right, sorry, we're, you know, you're the one that agreed to this, and now we're in.
Yep. Well,
could have been quick and easy.
Nope. Not at all like
not,
that.
Not quick and easy.
And you know, Margo and Elliot immediately like, well, we need to jump on this and do something about it because, you know, you make a decision, you stick with it, or you fucking die, you know? We gotta go for it. We chose to be rulers and we worked for this, so we're gonna go and work for it. So then we are in the fairy realm. We see Julia and Fen again with the fairy queen this time. My wife. Love Candace Cane. What a woman. She complimented me. I died. Inside.
And then your hair turned white.
Yeah, it turned white. My soul leapt out of my body, and then it came back inside, and I blushed for an hour.
So now you're Evelyn 42 or whatever?
Yes.
Right? You're not the real Evelyn anymore?
No, I am. I'm just a different one.
Okay. You've been recast?
I've been recast. But the fairy queen explains that, yes, there were fairies on Earth a long time ago, but they got hunted to almost extinction by magicians, and so they fled Earth and came to the fairy realm and Fillory and established themselves there. And they don't want to go back, because, like, why would they risk it for some maybe mysterious tribe, some unknown tribe? Like, there's no way there's still fairies there, you know? But Fen says, you know, you have to trust us, because, you know, I hate fairies. Why would I come back here to a place where you guys stole my tools and, like, took my daughter away?
Guess what,
when Fen? I hate you guys. Like, guess, why won't you trust us if I'm, like, I hate you guys, so why don't you trust us?
Guess what, Fen?
What?
I hate fairies, too.
But, the queen is like, okay, maybe. I guess I will help them. And she's like, well, why are you doing this, though? And Fen says, you know, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for them. They're like kids. And as someone who was a mother, even though you took that away from me, they deserve a chance to live.
I wonder how much
they need their queen.
I wonder how much shorter The Magicians would be as a show if every bit of dialogue where somebody said, why are you doing this, were taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Would this show be shorter by at least one episode?
Probably.
Right? Because then aren't they always asking each other, why are you doing this? Alice, why are you doing this?
Why,
Josh,
are you helping the library?
Why are you helping us? Penny, why are you help? Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Like every episode.
Uh-huh.
It's too bad we weren't consciously aware of this when we first started watching this, because this could be a good drinking game.
No,
every
you'll
time
die.
You'll die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
Every time somebody says, why are you doing this? Take a drink.
No. Don't.
Not that we condone over drinking.
Don't do that. But then we see Penny and Sylvia. And they're shelving books, and Penny peeps through one of the bookcases and sees the secrets taken to the grave kind of office.
It was a giant sign over the door, like the bat cave again.
Yeah, so you know where it is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so you know where it is. But
I'm not gonna lie. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of wish the world was like that.
Yeah,
where there were just giant signs over everything. To obviously state what things are. Kind of like how they are at Disneyland, right?
No.
At Disneyland, there's a big sign that says this is Peter Pan's flight.
No.
And so you know that you're going to go fly with Peter Pan, right?
No.
So what if, like, every building out in the world
had
told
signs?
You, had a,
maybe
had
that's,
a sign
what
thing,
that's what buildings
tells
do.
You. No,
dude.
Not every building has
most
that.
Most buildings
no,
have
but, like,
signs
tell
that
you,
tell
like,
you what they are.
Also tell you about, like, what kind of emotional experience you're going to have. In that
That's
building.
That's what Yelp reviews are for.
Is that what Yelp reviews are?
Uh-huh.
And are they invisible signs? You have to look through the lens of Yelp.
Exactly, yes. But Penny sees a sobbing woman come out of there, and he's like, whoa, what the fuck is that?
She's really chewing
she's
up
the
screen.
She's going for
it,
you know? No
scenery.
Small roles, only small actors.
That's true.
But he's like, what is that? And Sylvia explains that the Secrets Taken to the Grave is a, like, research division that was a partnership between the library and the people who run the underworld, and that you kind of go in there and you kind of lighten your conscience, and then you get a metro card that takes you to the other side.
So it's like that NPR thing that your mom and I did.
Oh.
Where we talked about we met, right?
Yeah.
What is that? What was that thing called?
I don't remember. It was for the Library of Congress.
Yeah, but they said it was supposed to be online in perpetuity, and it's not. That's a lie.
But
we got lied to by NPR.
But you get the metro card, and it takes you onto a giant pig, a long giant pig train that takes you to wherever your destination is. All right,
here was a
huge... Where is the pig train, Sarah, John, and Henry? Where was the pig train? I want to see the pig train.
I think...
If we're going to be disappointed by future events, can we not at least have the pig train?
No, here's where they messed up.
What?
They should have said, oh, the train to the underworld? Oh, you mean the Silver Arrow?
But that wasn't out yet.
No, but he was working on it.
We don't know that.
Yeah, he was. He had to have been, right?
Maybe. But he...
It's taken him like 20 years to write his King Arthur book, right? So he had to have been working on the Silver Arrow, at least like when that was
Lev
going
Grossman,
on.
We're so sorry.
We're not sorry. We love
I'm
your
sorry.
Stuff.
I'm sorry.
What? For what?
The slander.
It's not slander. It's slander. It's true. You've told me that it took him... He's been working on this book forever, right? It's okay to work on things forever, Lev. It's all right. There's no hurry. Just get it done when you get it done. That's okay. For all of you creative out there.
Yeah, get it done when you get it done.
Get it done. All things need the time they take.
Yes, let it incubate like a giant egg.
Marinate.
And then when you crack it,
there's a
smaller egg inside. Double eggs.
You don't do that. You let it marinate.
It's the thing that happens.
You let it marinate like a good steak for like a week. And then when you make that steak sandwich, like the one that used to be at
the comedy club that
I worked at in college, the greatest steak sandwich ever made.
You should drink every time Dad mentions food. Have alcohol poisoning.
Steak sandwich is so good.
Not a steak podcast.
And a little lettuce and tomato.
Not a steak podcast.
Oh, my God.
No.
What are we having for dinner? this podcast is brought to you by dinner. What's for dinner? Hell if I know. Mom will probably come up with something.
Baked potatoes.
Yeah. All right. Well, baked potato. I'm going to now forever equate baked potato with quarantine. Yes, because I have eaten a lot of baked potatoes. No offense.
Good for you.
Baked potatoes are delicious.
They're good for you.
But we've eaten a lot of baked potatoes.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should do some cooking.
Maybe I should, instead of doing a podcast with my daughter.
No, you can do both.
How about a cooking podcast?
Maybe.
What would a cooking podcast be
like? Just the ambient sounds of us cooking.
It would just be like frying and noises.
Flip. Flip, flip.
How many would you listen to that podcast?
I would not.
You're not? You wouldn't listen to a cooking podcast?
It's just ASMR. I don't listen to ASMR.
What is ASMR anyway? I'm still trying to wrap my head around what that means.
Noises, right?
What is the ASMR?
That's what I just said. That's noises.
No.
Or...
R. It's not N. It's not ASMN.
ASMR. Brought to you by sounds. Thank you for listening.
No, we're brought to you by dinner. What's for dinner?
The podcast.
I don't know.
Noises.
Tell us what's for dinner. Hey, if you want to tell
us
what's for dinner, email us. Give us some suggestions for dinner. Send us your recipes. Actually, here's a good question.
No.
So every good fiction should have a couple of things in it. One is it should have like some sort of object that you can sell,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a ring or a sting or something like that, or a lightsaber. Or
no
a wand, right? No,
no,
hang on, stick with me.
No.
Or a costume that you can wear, like a Jedi robes or a Harry Potter robes or a Batman costume, right? So the magicians, what's the costume for the magicians? Doesn't have one, right?
Nope.
What's the thing that people have in the magicians, like the object that you can sell as an item?
Crowns.
Maybe. But here's the real important one is what is the food that is in the world that then you're like, oh, I really want to try that food, right? Like butterbeer or blue milk or llamas bread or whatever, right? Like every good, here's a tip for you writers. If you're world building, every good fiction has a food that you want to try in the real world. Because then when you make the theme park version of it, you have something to sell to your customers.
It's no magician's theme park. There will never be a magician's
theme
park.
No, I'm not saying there would ever be a magician's theme park. But what I'm saying is if you are world creating, like Wizard of Oz, they had, what was the food in the Wizard of Oz?
There's no food.
Was there like,
there is in Return to Oz, but not in
What's
the Wizard
food
of
in
Oz.
Return to Oz?
There's lunch pail trees.
Oh, there you go. See, mm-hmm. So lunch buzzers. So Oz, I'm sure, has some sort of food, right?
Anyway, we see Quentin and Josh and Allison. They're, you know, trying to figure out there's three doors and three keystones, so they're going to set up some mirrors in order to find the sixth key in White Spire. And then we go to...
Why don't they just have a room with the key in it?
The cottage. Room with the key?
Yeah.
Because they can't research it. It's in the other universe. It's in the other world.
But they could
the
just...
Fairy Realm, which is layered on top
is that
of
what the Is that what that... Why are there flowers all over White Spire? Is
yes,
that what that was?
Yes, that's the Fairy Realm.
When did they establish that the Fairy Realm
in
had a White
two.
Spire? That there was a, that there
two.
Was a White Spire
because
in Fairy Realm?
Because when Margo went... Because Fenn got taken to the Fairy Realm and then Margo went after her.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw an establishing shot of White Spire, and it was covered in vines, and that was the Fairy Realm. That was last season.
Do you think they just did that to save money on sets?
Yes. Absolutely. They just put some plants up. But, at the cottage, we see the Fairy Queen. She puts on the call, the fake... She puts on the collar, and here's the thing.
Why don't they make
they
a fake collar?
They could have just made a fake collar.
Yeah.
They didn't do any research about the collar at all, about the necklace, and,
they
like,
could have just taken a picture of What's-Her-Face...
And be like, here's
sky,
our proof.
And then we go make a, that
well,
collar.
Yeah, well, they can't do that.
Why not?
You can only, like... Oh, you know, well, he doesn't show up until...
Maybe it's like
four.
Dracula.
Never mind.
Where you can't see him in a mirror, but you can see him in... For maybe, can you take a photograph of Dracula?
Yes, probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
So why don't they take a photograph of the fairy? Presumably they follow
Unless the
Dracula
phone has made a
rules.
Fairy deal. Phone has to make a fairy deal.
The
in
phone
order to
has
see
to make
it.
A no. The phone's an inanimate
a,
object.
Well, then you can't take a picture of a fairy.
Mm-hmm. Everything has to be a deal.
I think so.
What if they write something on the phone and say, "I this
nope.
is a deal"?
But they could have made a fake collar, and they don't. Instead, they give her a real collar, which they don't know does.
You know what would have just been an easier solution?
The only
solution?
Thing they know about is that it kills the person when you try to do magic. So it's like.
All right. Here's
what
how they could have solved
point?
This.
Yeah.
They could have just made Julia the god of the fairies.
No.
Because she's got god powers, right? And she doesn't have a title
She's
yet.
Not god status yet.
Well, she's on her way.
Almost.
I mean, why don't you just declare yourself, that's it, I'm god of the fairies because I have god power. And then as a result, then I'm just going to free all the fairies.
Not how that works.
Why not?
It's not how that works.
There's a lot of other dumb arcane rules in this show.
Yeah.
Why not add one more?
But it's not how that works. But, you know, the Fairy Queen says, why should I trust you, a powerless magician? And Julia does some magic, and she's like, yo, here it
that
is.
Wasn't very,
you can trust me. It's
that
not
wasn't
very impressive.
Very good magic.
And then you know, the Fairy Queen's like, oh my god,
and where did she
your
get
god
that,
touch.
Where did she get that trinket?
I don't know. It's like a lamp or something. A small lamp.
It wasn't a lamp. It was like a little
it's
star
a
shape.
They're in the living room.
It's a there's, knick-knack.
There's knick-knacks in the living room. But Julia says, you know, I want to help you because I want to do something with my powers. That's like, good. So then we see Irene McAllister with the Fairy Queen and with Uncle Edwin. And they're inspecting.
Uncle Fester.
They're inspecting the Fairy Queen, and they're like, wow, she's so well-behaved,
they should have
considering
had her,
she was feral.
They should have, like, had him check their teeth
no,
or something.
No, gross. But then Dust takes the Fairy Queen away, and Irene is, like, having a faster turnaround with her family members, so they're going to have this huge dinner. So then Julia goes off to do some investigating on by her own, and Fenn hides and waits for everyone to leave. And she...
Wait a second. Why does Fenn hide under a clear plastic tarp?
Well, she goes into the room where the... Where they had gone before to get the necklace. And she hides under a table and...
No, it's she hides under a clear plastic tarp.
Yeah.
That's the worst. That's like, I'm going to hide behind this glass, this sliding door.
Maybe someone made a fairy deal and can't see Fenn.
Maybe a Fenn deal.
A Fenn deal. But, so she hides and then we see the Fairy Queen. She gets taken to this huge cage where there's a whole bunch of fairies. They've been maimed and... we see Skye.
The fairies
she's
didn't even
like,
have
oh my
a
God,
bed. They were
the
just
queen.
All standing there.
Yeah.
Why don't they
enslaved.
At least have fair... Yeah, but you should at least give your slaves beds.
No.
Yeah,
that's
or a chair.
They're not doing that because they don't care
what
about
What do you mean
it?
They're not doing that?
They don't
then put them to work.
Them.
Don't lock them all up in
oh
a cage.
My God.
Right? Like, if you're going to have a whole bunch of fairy slaves, Don't go locking them up. We'll put them to work.
Well, they're clearly getting ready to, like, do a huge trade-off and stuff with them. But the Fairy Queen goes in, and Skye's like, oh my god, it's actually you. This is the queen that I told everyone about. And, like, no one believes her. And then...
Yeah, why don't they believe? I thought fairies were, like, immortal.
Well, and they're the last fairies on Earth.
Be the queen forever?
Well, they're the last fairies on Earth. They've never had contact with this other...
But having those fairies...
Group of fairies that were on Fillory.
Did they start in Fillory and then work their way
out? No, they started on Earth and then they escaped to Fillory.
But what about the Fairyland?
That's... They created in Fillory.
I thought Fairyland was a third place.
It's in Fillory. It's layered over top.
But that's still a separate land.
It breaks your brain a little, I know.
No, it's stupid. It should be that fairies came from Fairyland, went into Fillory.
No.
And then, yeah. And then went into Earth.
Because then why did they escape Earth in the first place if they went there?
No, they went to Earth.
Then why did they escape Earth from the first place if they went there from Fairyland?
All right, so they went from Fairyland to Earth to Fillory.
But then why did they escape from Earth in the first place? They started
because they didn't like Earth.
They started in Earth, got hunted to almost genocide extinction, and then they went to Fillory and established their own land.
They've already talked about how, like, there's things like trolls and vampires and other, you know, beasties on Earth, and those haven't been hunted to extinction.
Well, fairies can
why fairies?
Fairies can grant wishes if you make fairy deals.
But wouldn't you want fairies to be around then? Then you could get wishes
all the
time.
Clearly they have fairies around because they have enslaved fairies.
But it implied that, like, the majority of the fairies were in this basement.
Yeah, those are the last ones on Earth.
What about the ones in the Midwest?
Oh, my God. We see Julia. She's looking around, and she spies on the McAllisters having their dinner party.
Did we miss the fairy
pinching?
Then pinching?
The fairy queen gives this speech to the fairies, and she's like, rise up, we guys, we're the living embodiment of magic. Your suffering is my suffering, your injustice is mine. You know, we're gonna hunt down every slaver and we're gonna pull their fucking entrails out. It's gonna be great, you know?
Hey, can I ask a question?
And then there's no response. Yeah. Oh, but, and then while this is happening, we see Fen, who is hidden underneath, like, plastic tarp, and dust has brought in another fairy, and Uncle Edwin has come to take the necklace off, and they put the fairy in the machine, and Dust is like, don't worry, it'll just pinch a little bit, and then his fucking neck gets cut off.
Oh, they just put him in a saw machine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, essentially, it's like they're doing some saw cosplay.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Like, those fairy necklaces, you know, they're doing it the hard way. They're chopping off their heads. It's so easy. I have one of them. It's just a magnet on the back. You just unclasp it. Yeah. It's so easy. You just unclasp it.
But then you don't get to do digital beheading, right, and run up the budget. Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you a question about fairies.
Yes.
Okay. So, fairies were on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like the deals that they were getting.
No, they were getting hunted to extinction.
They were getting hunted to extinction.
So, they escaped to Fillory.
And they escaped to Fillory. All right. What about Rumpelstiltskins?
I don't know.
Where do they fall under the whole fairy thing?
I don't know.
Because Rumpelstiltskin is a whole... No, isn't a whole
he's
race?
He's one dude. No, he's one dude.
There's a whole race of Rumpelstiltskins.
No, he's one dude.
He's just one dude.
It's just one dude. That's why he's like, guess my name. Because it's one guy.
What about Dracula's?
There's only one Dracula. There's vampires, but there's one Dracula.
There should be more.
Okay.
I think the whole race should be called Dracula's.
Okay.
And the whole race of Rumpelstiltskins should be Rumpelstiltskins.
Okay. But then we
mainly
see...
Mainly because I just like saying Rumpelstiltskin.
Eadry, Lady Agate, Margot, and Elliot. And this is where they both kind of maneuver with their leverage. They offer to give magic to the Lorians and to the Floaters. Elliot seduces King Eadry, and Margot essentially parlays with Lady Agate and threatens her. And Elliot makes an agreement with Eadry while they're flirting and having fun times that the Fillorians could give the Lorians magic once they get it back, and they could teach them, and then they could eventually have magic just as strong as Earth magic users.
So really what Elliot is proposing is starting a trade school.
Yeah. they're like, they both decline to withdraw, like, that's before they offered the magic to them. And then they're like, well, I guess we'll maybe support you if you get your thrones back. And then we see Fenn and Julia, and they go to the cage. Well, Fenn actually grabs Dust and, like, has a little knife at him.
Of course she does.
Thrusts him against the cage, and she's like, I saw him decapitate a fairy. This dude is being so fucking rude. And turns out that the magic controlling the collars was actually a fairy deal in the first place, and it was actually Dust who made the deal, one of the people, because long ago,
when the fairies
were being hunted to extinction, the fairy queen had a huge band of travelers who migrated over to Fillory, and to ensure that none of the people would follow them, these remaining fairies made a deal in order to be in enslaved servitude to the McAllisters so that they couldn't follow them. But because they never had any word of the fairy queen, he started to lose faith in that deal that he made in the first place. And it turns out that fairy queen was actually the fairy queen's mother. Mm. So they did make it. And now she's back, but they can't get the collar off. Can only cut off their heads, which sucks. And they can never go back, but
they could turn into snakes.
They can break. There is a way to break a fairy deal, but the fairy queen refuses, saying that it would like destroy the foundation of their culture, because that is the one thing that gives them leverage and gives them power over people is the power of their word and the power of agreement.
No, the other power is that you have to guess their name.
No,
like Rumpelstiltskin.
That's not a power they have.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. But that's their limited
leverage.
What is the fairy queen's name? She just never gives it.
You don't know it because if you guessed it, you get a pot of gold.
Maybe she was just named fairy queen.
No, she's got to have a name because if you guess it right, then you... Candy.
It's Candace Kane.
Candy Kane.
It's Candace Kane. But...
So do we get gold now?
No. But Edwin comes in and he sees Julia and Fenn. And he force pushes them against the wall. Poor Julia, always getting thrown against walls.
I know.
And this will continue to happen.
I know what
Julia... That girl has terrible back problems, I swear.
Julia could be the goddess of walls.
Of walls? No.
Because she loves walls so
much. But Edwin, he shoves Dust in.
Force pushes him.
And he grabs Sky and he's like, come on, we're going to go and...
We're going to grind you up because one fairy is not enough to grind up.
But the fairy queen, moved by kind of the explanation of Dust and the plight of Sky, because, you know, Sky was like, oh my god, it's actually you. She cuts her hand open and does a sigil on the wall.
Oh my god,
and
this show.
Does a little magic, and she breaks the fairy deal. And
why
all the fairies,
is everybody cutting themselves on this
sucks.
Show?
It sucks.
Everybody. It Name sucks. One character who hasn't had to cut themselves yet, other than Todd.
Josh. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sure it will happen.
No,
it won't. It's a matter of time.
It won't. But she breaks the fairy deal, and so all the fairies become invisible. But since Julia and Fenn aren't tied to that same fairy deal, they can see the fairies, and we see, we see a screwdriver start to float as Uncle Edwin gets fucking, like, beat to death.
He gets screwed.
Yeah.
You get screwdrivers
and
to that.
We
and
see
then,
the McAllisters at their little fancy dinner party.
And they're like, isn't our life so great?
When have I ever steered this family wrong? And then everyone gets fucking murdered. But Irene crawls under the table and then like runs away and does a little magic shield so no one can catch her.
Wait a second.
What?
So one of the people at that party dies and falls into the soup face first. Is that possibly the most embarrassing way to be killed ever?
I think there's worse ways.
And drowned in your own soup?
I don't think he drowned in the soup.
Well, maybe. I mean, it could be maybe they were half alive and then they drowned in the soup.
Maybe.
Is there anything worse than drowning in soup as a way to go?
I don't know. I think it'd be a pretty tasty end.
A pretty good end? But they would really put you off soup.
I mean, you'd be dead, so.
Yeah, but maybe in the afterlife. And if you're in hell, they'd be like, all right,
only
here you go.
Only
soup for
the
soup
rest of your
for
undead
the,
life.
Of your eternity.
Yeah.
Right? Only soup for you.
Speaking of soup, then we see a guy crying in the underworld.
Wearing a very
delightful sweater. It's got like little foxes on it. And
I don't know how I
Penny's
feel about
like,
that sweater.
Yo, bro, oh my god, wait. They really put you through the ringer in there. Did you have Fran? I love Fran. She's got like two lazy eyes. She's crazy. He's like, no, I had a guy with like, he had like a hood on. I couldn't really see him. He had like red eyes. And he's like, oh no. What is that, wrong? Oh man, you're going to go somewhere worse than hell.
Yeah, you know why?
Shout out to Penny. His improv skills, off the chart. That man can yes and at the drop of a hat.
Yes, but you know why that guy's going to worse than hell?
Why?
For wearing that sweater.
No, it's a nice sweater. But he drops his MetroCard. He's like, I don't want to, I'm not ready to go yet. So Penny grabs it. But before he can grab it, a mysterious man picks up the MetroCard.
And that man is Kravitz.
Yes, it's Kravitz.
Kravitz from the Adventure Zone. It's an official crossover.
No.
But yes, why not? Why can't the magicians be in the universe of the Adventure Zone? Because the Adventure Zone
is better than the magicians in terms of queer representation.
That's true. But they do kill.
Yeah, but then they bring all the gay people back. They undead the gays.
They bring back everybody.
They undead the gays. It's great.
It's a blanket thing. It's not like they say all the gays back. They say everybody back.
It's great, though. But then we see Adrian Elliott, Margot, and Lady Agate. This is where they promise the magic to them and to make a trade school. And then we see Penny with this mysterious man. It's Hades, the god of the underworld.
The star of Hadestown.
Yes. No.
Yes.
He's not. Hades is played by Patrick Page in Hadestown.
Wouldn't that be cool if the Hadestown guy
were Patrick Page?
Yes, exactly.
No, but I like this
guy. And then they'd have the other guy, Algebra Song.
It's not Andre DeShields.
Show up. That'd be awesome,
This is the second episode in the row you've mentioned him.
A lot, Andre DeShields?
Yeah.
Because he's awesome.
But we see Hades, and he says, you know, Penny, you intrigue me. I've never seen someone fight their destiny, like, so hard while single-handedly propelling towards it. You know, you've escaped death twice, and yet you still came down to the underworld to help your friends.
Here's the thing. Here's what Penny should do.
What?
Penny should embrace the library. You know why?
No.
Because then he'd get to ride around on a cool segue.
No, he like doesn't he does get to do that. He doesn't book. Get to float. What is the point of being at the library if you don't get to float? What is the point?
I have a point.
What is the point? It's just one bureaucracy. Everything's desaturated and at a Dutch angle.
I have a point about Penny. It's not fun. We'll get to it at the end.
Okay. Well, I also have points about Penny, too.
Yeah, I know you do.
But
there's Penny points.
Penny points.
If we named our episodes.
Penny points.
Yes.
But Hades says, you know, you have a future as a librarian here or not. You know, you can choose. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you help your friends with the quest, because magic's always going to come back. Even if, you know, all you guys are dead, it's eventually going to come back, because magic is the carrot that gods use to keep humans in check, you know? And, hey, your life starts now, after death. Stop trying to get into the story when it's not going to, you know, care for you anymore.
If only that were true.
This...
How do you feel about the afterlife?
I am frustrated to no end, but at least it's more interesting than the one in the books.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the real afterlife.
Oh, the real afterlife? I don't know.
You don't know? You don't have a thought one way or the other?
I don't know what it's like.
You think it's like how it is?
I hope there's a library.
A library would be not a bad place to spend the rest of afterlife. See, I think Penny is missing out.
Not the whole time. I wouldn't be there the whole time. I would hope that there was DVDs? Also like, I would also hope there were like DVDs.
A kid section?
Yeah. Puppets,
right? Yeah. Board games in a more progressive library.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing, right? If it's a library, there's constantly new things coming in. So that way you wouldn't miss out. Like if a really good, like a new Stephen King book were written and you're dead and you're like, damn, I died. I'm never going to get to read a Stephen King book
again.
But
time isn't real though.
But then you go to the underworld library and you're
it's
like,
it's already there.
Oh, awesome. No. Well,
because time and space.
Now you're getting weird.
It's relative, baby.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway. But he says, hey, you know, Penny, you can get those shackles off. You just need to go talk to Howard and join his book club.
It's a trap.
It is a trap. And he says, you know, you have always been trying.
Why is everybody so
mean to Penny? People are mean to Penny because people don't like Penny, and I love Penny, and it makes me so mad. But Hades says to Penny, you know, you've always been trying to prove yourself ever since you went to Savannah with your birth mom. And ever since then, you know...
Why did you say with your birth mom?
Because Penny went through foster care. That's a thing that happened.
But, I mean, like, why did they say with your birth mom?
Because he can have a foster... He can have foster parents, and then he can have a birth mom.
Yeah,
who gave birth to him.
Sure,
and then
but
he'd
I
have a foster
barely
mom and
remember
an
that
mom.
Penny had foster parents.
He doesn't talk about it a lot.
Right, so
you know
then why?
Why
does
because,
it matter?
Well, because they're like, this is relevant, but you're not going to get the information about it from him. But He says, you know, this is why you're always sacrificing yourself for the group, to prove that you're important. And, you know, hey, it's your decision. You can do whatever you want with this Metro card. I'm not going to stop you. It's up to you, man. And then we see Quentin, Alice, and Josh. And Quentin and Alice are arguing. And
hang on a second.
She's like, you're acting like this book is yours. He's like, yeah, well, it's my quest.
Wait,
you know,
wait.
Are you working for the library? And Alice says, yes, which is surprisingly honest, as Josh agrees. And then he says, you know, why would you work with them when you know what they did to Harriet and Victoria and Penny?
Now I have three.
And then Josh is like, what happened with Victoria?
Now I have three comments.
Yes, what are your comments?
First comment is this. This scene in particular, but this episode in general, there's very nice lighting in it, right?
I know.
Like, they actually,
I'm really enjoying the cinematography.
The cinematography, the lighting in this episode is actually, this is one of, maybe one of the better episodes, like lighting-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they did a great job, particularly this scene in particular with the nice lighting and the moodiness.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, once again, the writers and magicians have devolved on another fucking video game puzzle where they're trying to reflect the light, bounce it around the room in order to make the pattern appear on the floor in order to get the key, right? This is like video game puzzle design 101. Like, I wish they would at least go to like 102 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's ridiculous. But the third thing is, how do we know that Victoria and Harriet are actually dead?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know,
not
right?
Not yet.
I don't think they're dead.
Not yet.
I don't. So why are they assuming they're dead?
Because they're just trapped
in the mirror realm.
Because the mirror bridge broke on both sides.
But it just means they're stuck in the mirror realm.
Yeah, but they don't know that. They don't know about the mirror realm. Only Alice does.
But then why?
Because she was an infant.
Sure. Then why didn't Alice say, oh, well, they're not dead?
Well.
Why is Alice withholding information yet again?
So she does.
No, that's what her character has become.
Yeah.
She used to be an interesting character. Now, she's kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, you know, you can blame.
Who?
The writers.
Name names.
Sarah, John, and Henry. Those are the writers.
Those are the writers
the
of
main
this episode?
Ones, the main ones.
The main. You mean the showrunners?
Yeah, the showrunners.
All right.
There you go.
We'll get to my other theory about this.
But then we see Penny and Sylvia, and he gives Sylvia the Metro card because he feels really bad about leaving her behind, and he also feels bad about how her family left her behind, and he's like, I left you alone when I shouldn't have. And, you know, I just want to put it right. So he gives her the Metro card so she can go with her family.
All right. And that's the end of her.
That is the end of Sylvia. We never see her again. Rest in peace, Sylvia. And then we see Josh, Alice, and Quentin. Josh starts smoking one of his secret blunts he hid in White Spire when he was Substitute King.
Why is that even a thing? Like, why... that's so dumb.
But
do you
Alice
really,
and
do you
Quentin
go hiding,
are arguing.
Like, do you go hiding sodas around the house?
No.
Or
I do hide food sometimes.
What kind of food do you hide?
You don't get to know.
Well, I don't want you hiding food in our house.
No, it's like in the kitchen.
Where in the kitchen?
You don't get to know. It's hidden.
So now are you going to make me go search
for
this just so I know?
It's not for you.
Well, I didn't say it was for me. I just want the information.
No.
I don't care about the food.
No.
What are you hiding, by the
no.
way? No, just tell me, what kind of food do you hide?
Like cookie food.
Cookie food? We have a whole thing
like
of cookies.
Cookie.
You have cookies and candy and stuff in
well,
our
there's
house.
Specific cookies that someone, Jack,
you,
likes to eat.
You mean your brother
so
likes to eat
we hide
cookies.
Them.
So where are you hiding them?
You don't get to know.
Are you talking
but
about the, wait, are you talking
Josh,
about those marshmallow ones?
No. But Josh smokes the blunt, and he can suddenly see into other worlds, and he sees that the sixth key is in the fairy realm.
That's awful fucking convenient.
Yeah. But then we see Juliet and the fairy queen, and she's like, I'm sorry, we were too late to save the rest of your people. And she's like, yeah, our word means nothing now, and it fucking sucks, but you know, we got him out, and we're gonna deal with it. And you know, you're the one human who I've, like, worked with who's... the very first person who's ever approached me without, like, personal gain in mind. And you didn't...
Julia is mostly a decent human being.
Yeah. And she's like, I know you're on a key quest.
Treated like trash by the writers.
Yeah. And Fairy Queen says, you know, I know you're on a key quest, and I want you to know that the Fairy Realm has the sixth key, but the problem is that it is the thing that created and sustains the Fairy Realm, so we can never give it to you.
So here's the thing. I have two points about this.
Yes.
Fucking dumb. One is, isn't the keys just for a door anyway?
It's not for a door.
In the book, it was for a door.
It's not for a door in here. It's not for a door in the show.
Secondly, if your key was the key that created all of creation, mm-hmm. like fairy creation, why isn't it the first key?
Well,
why are they calling it the sixth key?
Because it's the sixth one on the
list. It's the sixth one that they're finding about and finding out about. Mm-hmm. But I would think that the key that can create everything should be the one key. Well, right? Like the Lord of the Rings. What's the name of the ring in the Lord of the Rings?
It's the One Ring.
No, but doesn't it have like some elf name?
It's the One Ring.
There's not a name like Cabloglio or something?
It's the One Ring.
No, maybe it needs a ring, a name.
No.
Like Buck.
No, you made that joke earlier.
That's called a callback.
Yeah, but then we see Penny, and he approaches Howard and says, hey, let me into your book club. And we see another woman, Kathy, and she starts gushing to him about a book that she is currently reading.
And which is like a book about, now this doesn't make any sense either. It's a book about, it implied that it's like another one of those book about somebody's life book, but it's a book about two people. Wouldn't you be just reading one book about
It's from
one?
The perspective of a person, but as a person, you interact with other people in your life. You were speaking to me right now, I would be in your book.
Right, but the book would be called the Scott Rogers book. Yeah, it wouldn't be called Scott and Evelyn the book.
Well, you would have this relationship with other people. She's just talking about the story. We don't even know if she's talking about an actual life
book. No, it seemed like it was. Like, why didn't they just say, here, read Dracula or something? Or read Rumpelstiltskin.
He's not reading Dracula. But,
Read Treasure Howard, Island.
But Howard offers one of Kathy's cupcakes to Penny.
Which looks kind of gross,
it's
actually.
It's gross looking. And
but
Penny.
It does make me want cupcakes.
No. And Penny eats it. And that is the end of the episode.
And that's the end of it. Yes. So, all right. Why are you so mad about Penny? Because you've written here in all caps, in very never eat food in the fucking underworld. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
So. One of, like, the main kind of lore things about, like, the underworld.
You mean Greek mythology?
In Greek mythology, which is what they're pulling from for their
vaguely.
God. Vaguely. Hades, Persephone, all things that occur and are things and people here in the show. But they do also pull from Egyptian mythology later in the show. But, that is, like, one of the key things. It's, like, you don't eat food in the underworld, you get stuck there. Things change when you eat food from the underworld. And
isn't
this
it supposed to be
it's supposed to be a good moment, but it feels foreboding as fuck.
No, isn't it supposed to be persimmon or pomegranate?
Yes, but that was for Persephone. But in general, you don't eat food because that's also a thing in fairy lore. In
don't eat fairy food.
You don't eat fairy food because you'll be stuck
you'll
there forever.
Fall asleep, right?
No,
like,
you'll get
like Rip
no,
Van Winkle.
No, you'll get stuck there forever.
In fairy world? But what's so bad about being stuck
in
fairy
world?
Well,
you become, like, in servitude to them. So it's the same kind of thing where it's like you eat food in the underworld.
But he's already in servitude to them.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Why would they, like, be here, eat this slave cupcake?
I'm just saying it just feels like the final nail in the coffin. And this is the very last episode where Penny has his actual personality. After this, Penny, Adiodi, Penny 40, does not have personality. He is lesser than his previous incarnations. He is watered down and neutered. He's much calmer. It's very weird. It's good on Arjun because he plays it differently, but it's not the same character anymore.
Well, you know
and
what?
It's so frustrating because then they just basically fridge him and replace him with a watered down version of the same character that just walks in and replaces him for the rest of the show. And they literally replace him with this new Penny.
Here's the
and
thing.
And it fucking sucks.
All right. You've come to the heart of the problem. Partially the heart of the problem of this show. And that is this. Penny, who is a good actor, right? Arjun is a good, very good actor. The problem is this. They made a minor character a major character of the cast, right? They took a character that had very little to do in the books, had very little to do. Penny is barely
at
in
least,
the book.
At least Penny is in. At least Penny is in all three
Penny
books.
Penny is in.
Fenn dies
right.
within
well,
two chapters
Fenn
of
in,
meeting her.
Fenn isn't even. But Fenn does more in that two chapters than Penny does like time wise over that book.
Penny is in three fourths of the first book. Penny is Deus Machina. Yes, he
Penny
is.
He's in three scenes in the first book. He's in
not three scenes.
Pretty much, he's in three scenes.
He's in three books of the first book.
No, he's in three scenes of the first book, mm-mm. And then he's in like one scene in the second book, and he's in two scenes or one scene in the third book.
He's in more than one scene
in the
second
book. He's barely rates as a character in that book. He is the Tom Bombadil of the Magicians.
He shows up more than Tom Bombadil.
That's true. Tom Bombadil gets a whole chapter dedicated to him. But that said, the problem is that when they were going and creating this show, they were for some reason decided they needed to have like a huge cast.
It's a good cast.
And it's a great cast, but they decided that Penny rated as a character who should have been part of the regular cast.
Yes.
And I argue that Penny would have been better served as a minor character like Todd.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely for sure.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely for sure.
I disagree 100%.
I know you do, but I'm right in this case.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am, because Penny is a minor character in the book. He should have been a minor character in the TV show.
They should have put more work into his backstory in the show.
Because then they would have known where to go with the character.
They should have actually put work into his storyline.
Well, that's a whole other thing, right? They were trying to base stuff off of what happened to the character in the book. But they set up this whole library as an evil organization, but they didn't want Penny to become the leader of an evil organization. So therefore,
he could have had a whole storyline where he came into the library through bad means, where he became indebted in this servitude. He could have had this whole plot line, but then he could have worked from the inside to turn it inside out and become the leader and reform the whole organization.
But then that would have made him more powerful than any of the other characters on the show.
No, which then it would have made him interesting.
By having him temporarily like show up every two or three episodes or four episodes, then he probably could have had that story arc. And it would have been still given him plenty to do without them. Because look at how many plot lines of Penny were just like this made up bullshit stuff that went on way too long, right? Like the cursed hands and what else? There's some other Penny plots
chopped
that just
off hands.
Yeah, I mean, there's like every plot line that was Penny related is stretched out to the point because the writers didn't know what to do with them because he's a minor character in the book.
Well, if they were going to write the show basically from scratch, they could have come up with more story for him.
I think that they should have made Penny a minor character.
I disagree.
I think that with Quentin and Alice and Julia and Elliot and Margot, there's more than enough that could be done centered around those characters. And then everybody else could be regulated to minor characters.
Nope.
Except for Bingle, who nope. should be a major character.
Nope.
Replace, nope. I say replace Penny with
nope.
Bingle.
No.
And
no.
Yes.
No. 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 No.
I know. No.
Penny is a good character. He deserves to get his time in the
he's
sun.
He's not a good character.
Yes, he is.
In the book, he's a lousy person.
But this isn't the book. This
but
is the
that's
show.
What it should have been based off of.
Well, they didn't. They worked off it and created their own thing. And because of that, they had but the responsibility to flesh him out and they didn't. And it's their fault.
But they ran out of steam, obviously.
Yeah, they didn't want
they
to
They didn't
do anything,
know what
so
to do.
So they fridged him and they replaced him with someone
but
nicer.
But they didn't want to fire the character.
Yeah,
actor.
So they fridged him.
So they were like, we like the actor, but we don't like the character.
They fridged him.
No, fridging is different. Different. Fridging is they're gone for good. No. They
basically,
fridged.
This version of Penny is gone for good after
no,
this episode.
No, you know who they fridged.
Who did they fridge?
Your boy. Spoilers. That's who they fridged, right?
This is a spoiler-full podcast.
Yes. All right. Would you like me to say the name and make you cry? Yes. They fridged Quentin. That's who they fridged. That's the fridging. First of all, fridging, you know where that comes from, right? Comes from an issue of Green Lantern in which Green Lantern's girlfriend, who was like maybe in two issues or one issue, is like killed and chopped up and stuffed in a refrigerator, which gives Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, righteous indignation to like go, my girlfriend, now I have somebody that I have to avenge, right? And you know where all that mindset comes from.
But they don't even avenge Quentin.
Well, no, they don't avenge Quentin, and they really don't avenge
Penny,
Green Lantern's girlfriend much either. But here's the thing. You know where this concept comes from. I hate to say it because I love, but it is all stems from Bruce Wayne. It all comes from everybody wants their character to be Batman. And how did Batman get all his torment and pain? Because even though he's a man in his, you know, arguably 20s to 40s, depending on which version you're reading, he is sad about mommy and daddy who are dead. And so that the death of mom and dad haunt him, and it gives him motivation to be pissed off Batman, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody wants pissed off Batman. And so what they do is they fridge these other characters, these minor characters that could have been characters that could have been developed, like Green Lantern's girlfriend. I'm sure there's a perfectly good universe in which Green Lantern's girlfriend actually survives and becomes a meaningful part of the storyline. Now, that's not what happened to Penny. Penny's character persists.
Good.
So he's not fridged. So you're using the term incorrectly. But they did get, I believe the term is, he was done dirty.
Yes.
And that is that they did a bad job with the character, and so they scrapped that. They retconned the character. That's the other term. They retconned the character where they now said, all right, this is the new reality. This is what's happening to this character. And unfortunately, the version, and this is almost always what happens anyway, almost always any version of a character who gets retconned is always arguably worse. It happened with Jason Todd in Batman, when Jason Todd was originally a nice kid who was kind of like Dick Grayson. But everybody said, you know what? We don't want him to be too much like Dick Grayson. We're going to change him. And then they retconned him into a jerk. And then everybody got mad and phoned in to kill him, except for me, who called in twice to save him because I felt that Batman needs a Robin. But, and they years later, I get, what do I get? Vindication, because they brought back Robin again. And then they brought another Robin and then another Robin.
But so, they don't bring back this Penny.
No,
after
they don't.
After this, he's a different man.
Here's the thing. And
his character is completely different. And, you know, props to Arjun for doing that change.
Hey, man, Arjun wanted the job. Sticking it out.
It sucks so bad,
well,
dude.
Well, it probably sucked for him, right? He probably was like, you could tell that this is the writer's doing, right? It's not Arjun. It's not like Arjun saying, I don't really like this character, this version of this character, right? Because almost always the actors have very little say in what happens to the character. Remember, we talked to Hale and we said, Hale, you know, did you get to have any say about, you know, blah, blah, blah? And he's like, no, I just, you know, I did what they wrote. And that unfortunately is part of the other problem with these long form television shows is there is not as much collaboration between the actor and the writers. The writers should make the effort. If they're going to go through all that effort to cast an actor that they think is the perfect manifestation of this character, they should say, look, let's work together. And particularly if there's no roadmap, like now The Magicians, you could say, all right, well, the roadmap is the book. And so that's what they should have followed, was the roadmap of the book. But let's say you're watching Star Trek The Next Generation, which has no roadmap, right? They could do whatever the hell they want. They could go wherever the hell they wanted to go and do with those characters whatever they wanted to do. If they worked with the actors and said, where do we think we're going to go with this character? Let's work together. But of course, the other problem is ego, because writers get egotistical and actors get egotistical. And if a lot of times, I don't know if there's ever been an instance of that happening, of people trying to collaborate, but I have heard stories of like where an actor would be like, well, my character wanted to do that, and the writers want to do something else, and then they get in a big argument, mm-hmm. and the actor gets fired off the show, right? Because the writers ultimately, or the producers, have the power to hire and fire those people.
Yep.
So, is there a better situation that could have been done? Absolutely. But how long could it sustain? Probably not that long. Mm-hmm. So, this goes all the way back to my original thesis, which is...
Nope.
The Magician should have only been two seasons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, three.
Maybe three.
Three books.
Three seasons. Done. Yep.
Yep. But alas, that is the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to rate this?
5 out of 7.
5 out of 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the Fairy Queen parts.
I don't like the Fairy Queen parts as much. But
I hate the end, but I do enjoy the Penny stuff.
Well, you really hate the cupcake. You really hate the next episode.
No, I don't.
No?
Next episode's 23.
Is that your favorite one?
If I have opinions about Penny 23, it's not my favorite episode, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Haha.
Damn.
But I have opinions about Penny 23.
Have we already passed your favorite episode?
No, we have not.
Okay.
We've not passed my favorite episode. I think that Penny 23 would have been better if they had actually made him more aggressive. Because all right. I believe that the life that he experiences would have been extremely traumatizing, and I would have loved to see how that trauma manifested in his relationships with people instead of him just being like, "Oh, Julia, my ex-girlfriend who I never actually dated, really. I still love you, even though you're in a different universe, and we're different, completely different people with different experiences, and I'm gonna fuck up your consent, and I'm just gonna, like, do maybe all these autonomy decisions for you.
Let's save the alternate reality multiple next conversation episode. For next episode, because I have a lot of thoughts about that trope.
But anyway, I think Penny 23 would have been cooler if he actually had repercussions for his trauma, and if he was punk like the books.
Save it for the next episode. I think he should have been punk. Episode.
I think he should have been punk, had a little fun mohawk or something.
Yes, he definitely should have had
painted nails, some piercings, some eyeshadow, you know, the whole thing. Well, I think that would have been
maybe
wonderful.
Maybe Arjun has embraced the punk.
Maybe. But yeah, 5 out of 7. You know, I love the Fairy Queen stuff. It's my favorite. Do not like the ending. Hate it, in fact.
It's kind of anticlimactic.
Hate it. Hate the ending.
All right.
What'd you rate it?
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't have the kind of the foreboding. I know what's going to happen because I've mostly forgotten. Uh-huh. I mean, I know that he changes and is a different version, but
just his personality changes. Right, and that's okay. What sucks.
Well, that's why you shouldn't eat cupcakes.
Uh-huh. Don't eat cupcakes, guys.
They're delicious. Anyway, I think the lighting in it was great. I think the costumes were great in this one. Mm-hmm. It was fun to see a lot of characters pop up again. Like it was a good, although not, no, Rafe in this. Yeah. Right. That big reveal that he's a villain.
He's not.
Why was he not in this episode?
He's not a villain.
He is a villain.
He's still on the side of them.
He has thrown his hat in as a villain.
No, he hasn't. Tick is the one who.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Rafe. Rafe. I meant Tick. Tick, where's our Tick villain stuff?
He's not here. But he's hanging out.
There should have been. Some sort of follow-up. Right?
It's in 2 episodes.
Right?
It's in 2 episodes.
2 episodes. That's a long ways to wait.
Yeah.
For Tick. All right, but beautiful lighting, nice mm-hmm. costuming. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see the boat flying around.
Yeah.
Somebody got their head chopped off. Fairy plot line finally done.
And, no, it's still not done.
It's still not done?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I'll give it a 5 out of 7.
Hell yeah. Are you going to ask me?
Ask you what?
What's going on?
What's going on?
In the Hillary and Father Random.
Is there a Fillory Father fandom?
Right now there is a Magicians D&D game being organized. If you go to the Magicians D&D Twitter, you could probably get in contact with that, which is pretty cool. And also, the Magicians Big Bang is finally underway. People have gotten their pairings, which is pretty cool. So that is coming up. Not yet, but, you know, by the end of
the
summer.
And then there's also
what?
The Fillory and Father Cupcake Palooza. If you have decorated a cupcake as the anything for the Magicians, let's see your Magicians themed cupcakes. If you have decorated a cupcake to look like Arjun's face or with the Break Bills logo, any sort of cake with Magicians theming on it. Do you think somebody has made a cake somewhere?
Probably, but speaking of the Magicians, we have an email.
Oh, does it talk about cupcakes?
No, it says podcast, and it's from Brenda Lee Rogers.
Oh, I know that person.
Yeah, it says, "Dear Fillory and Father, okay, Mr. Evelyn's dad, write that fanfic. Here's another vote. Last podcast, a whirlwind of chatting. I can see some naps were had. Evelyn, you actually made me laugh out loud at that executive producer comment. Poor Lev. I do enjoy your podcast, and yes, I am at times talking back to you, as you imagine I am, Give me a few episodes and I'll be there to do so in real life. I look forward to your next podcast, Mom.
Aww.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks,
sweetheart. I love you.
Thank you, Mom. I love you.
All right. So
that's our only email. Email us at fillerandfather@gmail.com or fillerandfather on Twitter or fillerandfather on TikTok.
Yeah, let's get some more votes for fan fiction.
Where can people find you?
Online.
But like where?
In the fairy realm online.
But like where?
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And Instagram.
Yeah, but what's the username?
Mighty Bedbug.
Okay.
That's it. That's really all you should find me. What? What? You're pointing at yourself furiously.
You can ask me.
Ask you what?
Where people can find me.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at @wow_then on Twitter, at @fishyduaras on Instagram, and on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers.
Yeah, go to Patreon.
Yeah.
Look at the beautiful art.
I do requests once a month if you do the request here. Ooh,
maybe you can request some sort of fillery
stuff.
Florian stuff.
Florian things.
Or fillery and father.
Sure.
Request a picture of you and me talking into a microphone.
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No one wants
at
that
at all.
No but one? Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening, and
you will hear us next
time.
And 23.
Yeah.
On
this podcast that we call the Magicians podcast, also known as Fillery and Father.
Yay!
Hey, we did it.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.